opinion, which now has been disputed by me, and also I believe in tomorrow's paper will be disputed by another person saying that it's nothing but political posturing and all lies. It's sad because the individual that was assaulted that evening has been very quiet about this. Two people in his family have not been spreading false information.
Hi, we are
Sam,
Katie,
and Michaela from Castleton, and you are listening to
WGXC ACRA
on 90.7 FM. Keep on smiling.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, October 26th. According to my network of spies, snow fell on Whiteface Mountain near Lake Placid and in Wilmington, Vermont yesterday. Surprising weather predictors. It was just a dusting that was pretty much quickly washed away, but it did technically happen. And now we are all stuck with the rain that is expected to last all day. Flood warnings are out for Western Greene County. A high of 54 is expected at 3 p.m. Winds will get stronger through the day with gusts of 20 miles per hour forming near dark. Overnight temperatures fall to 49 degrees. And the rain will taper off, ending by dawn tomorrow. Then things dry out with a high of 56 and some gusty winds in the morning. Wednesday night will be in the low 40s, and Thursday will be dry with a high of 58. Friday will have a high of 56 and will be bringing the rain back to the region. Closest possible snowfall today, according to the National Weather Service, will be 1,600 miles away in Colorado. Pollen levels for today will be not happening. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 1:45 a.m., high tide at 7:44 a.m., low tide again at 1:09 p.m., and high tide again at 7:21 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 60 degrees. Sunset today will be at 5:45 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:17 a.m. Looking way up, we see a suddenly active region of the sun is likely to send flares our way over the next 48 hours. Solar wind speed is currently 322 kilometers per second at 5 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently poor for daytime and fair for nighttime. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 81. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate, who asks that you please help us during our fall pledge drive. Sustaining supporters are our heroes, and they help us keep on going. Your kind and tax-deductible donations can be made at WGXE.org. It is just so easy.
Please consider becoming a sustaining supporter today during our WGXC 10th Anniversary Pledge Drive. Go to wgxc.org/donate or wavefarm.org/donate or call 518-697-7400. WGXC's 10th Anniversary Pledge Drive, as we're celebrating 10 years of bringing you community views and news and letting the community have access to one sliver of the airwaves, 90.7 FM. The only place on the dial that you'll hear your friends and neighbors conversing about local issues and having their say about what's important to them in their community on their local airwaves. If you think that's important and want to keep the community conversation ever present on 90.7 FM for another 10 years, please consider becoming a sustaining supporter today during our WGXC 10th Anniversary Pledge Drive. Go to wgxc.org/donate or wavefarm.org/donate or call 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Make a donation today at wgxc.org/donate. Become a sustaining supporter. And for just $5 a month or 17 cents a day, you can make sure and ensure that your friends and neighbors continue to have access to their own airwaves. You can continue to hear them converse on your local dial at 90.7 FM.
WGXE underwriting is provided in part by Kravitz & Son Roofing, a local family-owned and operated full-service roofing company for more than 48 years. Specializing in residential and commercial roof construction, repair, maintenance, and replacement, using high-quality and affordable roofing products. Information at 518-567-4026 or online at KravitzandSonRoofing.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Delmar Wellness Center of Alachua, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
This year's Halloween edition of Forgotten Geek on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. This is Corey McCaslin, also welcoming listeners to the 10 Years of Radio for Open Years Pledge Drive. As your local dependable source for independent volunteer program music, ideas, and news, looks to continue growing its base of sustaining donors. At present, we're 75% along the path towards the monthly amount we need to be on solid footing. You can help keep me and all your other favorites going into the next 10 years of free, reliable, and iconoclastic content by going to wgxc.org/donate or calling 518-697-7400 and becoming a sustaining supporter with a tax-deductible pledge varying from $5 to $10. For this show, that means I can continue bringing you the less spotlighted music of yesterdecades and have a shot at finishing out our year-by-year trips through one-hitterville that usually take place on the second installment of the month. We've also got new station swag to look forward to at the conclusion of the drive, featuring DJ Chuck, designed by Your Voice Touches My String programmer Mayujo Fujino, which sustaining supporters old and new will get access to. So, as we head off into Geek Speak, you can become an investor rather than a bystander by going to wgxc.org/donate or calling 518-697-7400 or snail mailing WGXC FM care of Wave Farm, P.O. Box 12, Acre, New York, 12405. The Widow's Bite won't be afflicting Disney, as their and ScarJo's differences have been settled. Terms weren't released, but one of the reasons was made clear when Chairman Alan Bergman mentioned they would be resuming development of the Tower of Terror film that Johansson has been slated to produce and star in. Some are understandably disappointed this didn't continue on into the courts, but it has at least led the Mouse to overhaul their contract policies. Puck News added that Shang-Chi's post-pandemic record-breaking performance also factored in, proving her team's assertion that the day-and-date digital release of Black Widow cut into theatrical profits, with no alternative deal in place to compensate. There will probably be no admission of this being sheer freaking hubris on Disney's part, but the damage is done, as The Hollywood Reporter claimed anonymous sources in the company whisper creatives and other high-level employees are deeply displeased with new CEO Bob Chapek, as, quote, every creative person is leaving or losing power. Back in June, departing CEO Bob Iger pointedly urged the company to not favor market research and data over creative risk and Chopic is known as a numbers-oriented, data-driven suit with little creative experience. Veteran mogul Barry Diller has claimed Iger was not very nicely being pushed to the sidelines by successor, something Iger denies. Right now, one of Disney's creative pillars, MCU chief Kevin Feige, has stated his working relationship with the new boss is fine, despite his public disappointment over the initial handling of the ScarJo incident. But I'm sure John Lotsahuggin Lasseter said the same thing before Eisner nearly killed that golden goose back in the '80s. But a former leading lady in another superhero verse has come forward to express her own rage against the machine. Ruby Rose, taken to Instagram to set the record straight on her short run as Batwoman. This includes thinly veiled claims of sexual harassment of employees against former Warner Bros. Television Group chairman Peter Roth, abusive behavior by co-star Doug Ray Scott, unsafe working conditions resulting in multiple horrific injuries and in one case paralysis of crew members and stunt people, and being forced to work through the outbreak of COVID. Warner has fired back, calling the post a revisionist take, and Scott has denied all the allegations against him. In less disturbing news about Gotham, DLL Arby and Bilal Falah confirmed to VRTNWS there will be a Batman in their HBO Max Batgirl film, but remain mum on which version. At the Fandome event, it was also confirmed that the Epix aired prequel series Pennyworth will move to HBO Max for its third season. In the DCU Beyond, at the same event, an untitled animated home release film based around the recently relaunched Milestone stable of characters is in the making. And Barry Sonnenfeld told comicbook.com his long-in-development adaptation of the quirky Metal Men is back on track. Back to the MCU, Deadline broke that Guardians Volume 3 has found its Adam Warlock, casting Narnia and We're the Millers' Will Poulter as the perfect human and in the books leader of the Infinity Watch team that served as an inspiration for the modern-day iteration of the Guardians. From the people who brought you the hit sitcom WandaVision, it's Agatha all along the series. Variety exclusively reports development has begun on a dark comedy series focused on Katherine Hahn's scene-stealing villainous reinvention of Scarlet Witch's mentor under WandaVision showrunner Jack Schaefer. This might be a ways off as Hahn is also starring in a Showtime series dramatizing Joan Rivers' life, as well as the Apple series The Shrink Next Door and a role in Knives Out 2. But Deadline followed this as part of a larger deal with Hahn, including appearances in other series and movies, because hey, Dark Avengers / Thunderbolts are going to need their own witch. Agatha might not be the only villainess leading a Disney Plus show, as scooper Daniel RPK claims Shang-Chi's sister Xiaoling's taking of their father's throne will lead direct to a Ten Rings series, Monga Zong back as the erstwhile Lady Mandarin. Same scooper also claims Charlie Cox and most of the Daredevil cast will also appear in Echo, which brings the Joe Quesada, David Mack created First Nations assassin introduced in the Horn One series into solo focus after her debut in next month's Hawkeye miniseries. From illusion making fake hero to Captain America with the serial numbers filed off and a whole lot of pouches, The Hollywood Reporter broke that Jake Gyllenhaal has been cast in the title role of Prophet, Studio 8's adaptation of Rob Liefeld's Image character, to be directed by Extraction helmer Sam Hargrave. Disney Plus has greenlighted Ten Rings director Destin Daniel Cretton's adaptation of Jean Lon Yang's acclaimed 2006 graphic novel American-born Chinese, about a teenager juggling his high school life with his immigrant home life until a new foreign exchange student entangles him in a battle among ancient Chinese gods. We might be pausing for the one-hitter history trip this month, but much of today's curation is one-hit adjacent, starting with Cheb Woolley under the pseudonym of Ben Colder's nearly 10 years later follow-up to his novelty hit, Here's Purple People Eater Number 2.
This is Gordon G. Goodvoice with an on-the-spot report. I'm standing at this moment about 50 feet from where it actually landed. I have an intelligent-looking man, an eyewitness here who saw the whole thing. Sir, would you tell us what you saw?
Well, I saw this thing coming out of the sky. It had one long horn and one big eye. I commenced shaking, and I said, ooh-wee! He looked like a purple people eater to me.
What was it really, sir?
It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
A one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater?
A one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. Sure looks strange to me.
Then what happened?
He came down to Earth and lit in the tree. I said, Mr. Purple People Eater, don't eat me. I heard him say in a voice so gruff,
I wouldn't eat you because you're so tough.
Sir, would you explain how you made that amazing little sound?
Yeah, man, that's easy. I just modulated my voice.
Amazing.
I said, Mr. Purple People Eater, what's your line? He said, eating purple people is sure is fine. But that's not the reason that I come to land.
I want to get a job in the Monkees Band.
A pigeon-toed underground flying purple people eater. So looks strange to me. Then he swung from a tree and he lit on the ground and started to rock, really rocking around. Crazy ditty with a swinging tune.
Sing a bop, bop, a boop, a lap, a loom, bam, boom.
What happened to him? Did he fly away?
No, man, you see that little purple guy standing right over there?
You mean the one with the horn in his head?
That's right.
Amazing.
Hey, come here, little purple shorty. Turn up that horn in your head and play one for us, okay?
Amazing.
Yeah, boy. I call him Pup for short.
Amazing!
Hey, little short purple shorty, would you like a little short purple drink or something?
Amazing!
Yes!
Right now, we'd like to introduce all of you. Our lead singer, Mr. Boris Love. Boris is all ready to do his favorite song. We can get a couple green lights on his face. Sing a song called The Monster Mash.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, when my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard.
Mash.
It caught on in a flash.
The Monster Mash.
It's called the Monster Mash.
Oh.
The laboratory in the castle leaves.
Oh.
In the master bedroom where the vampire sleeps.
Oh.
The girls all came from their Hamlet.
Oh.
To get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
The Monster Mash.
It's called the Monster Mash.
What?
Zombies were having fun. Yeah. The party had just begun. The guests included Wolfgang, Dracula, and his little baby boy. The sea was rocking, over digging the sound. He got unchained, back by his baying hound. The coffin bangers were about to arrive. But they woke in the group, the Beach Boy Five. They did the Monster Mash. It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. It's called the Monster Mash.
What lucky girl in the audience would care to dance with Igor?
The Monster Mash is so cool.
Mash!
Come on. body, body, shock the body, shock the body, body, shock.
Igor, you idiot.
Yes, master.
Bring me some vocal cords.
Yes, master.
Cause I just want to hear him speak as a microphone reaches. Connect electrodes, turn on the power. We are ready within the hour. Went up without a hitch, then Igor screamed,
"Out for this witch!"
Boat came down, his head went zap. Now he's doing the monster rap. Shock the body, shock the body, body, shock the body, shock the body, body, shock the body, shock the body, body, shock.
I've given you a voice, now rap for daddy.
Well, I shot a million bolts into my brain, now I'm ready to rap like a runaway train. If you get in my way, I'm bound to clash, cause I'm the same.
Drac woke up from his nap, said,
"Teach me how to monster rap."
You gotta shock the body, shock the body, body, shock the body, shock the body, body, shock the body, shock the body, body, shock.
Igor, you fool.
Yes, master.
He's breaking loose. We've reached a goal undreamed of by science. Listen, he's going to rap again.
Head. I'm 8 feet tall and I'm back from the dead. You see, I can bring brothers down to tears. Cause I'm the monster rabbit for 100 years. They all light up the torches and change you to town. Do you ever like trying to track me down? But they can't keep up, they can't compete. Cause I got to rap with a monster beat. You see, north, east, west, and south. I'm the cat they call Monster Mouth. When I party rap, I control the room. I can get the werewolves down at the moon. You see, I'm big and bad, scarred and mean. I'm the cool rage shotter like the I said a rap, rap, another zap. Can't stop the rapping now.
He won't stop rapping. Strap him down, Igor. He must be heavily sedate.
Yes, master.
Today's first set began with Purple People Eater No. 2 by Shep Woolley, followed by a live 1962 Beach Boys cover of Monster Mash, and concluded with that Staples artist's 80s follow-up, The Monster Rap by Bobby Boris Pickett. The Hayden Christensen redemption tour of the Star Wars universe continues, as in addition to continuing being the man in the Vader suit for next year's Obi-Wan miniseries, THR broke that he'll play some role in the Ahsoka series, playing opposite his former Padawan in what will presumably take the form of flashbacks, or more likely, Force Ghost form. That hashtag show also broke rumor of another live-action Star Wars series, claiming development has begun on an untitled series focusing on post-prequel, pre-original trilogy bounty hunter with force-suppressing powers who, after exposure by an escaped target, must go on the run from the Inquisitors. The beginning of the end of the Whitaker era of Doctor Who begins with things in flux. This Halloween Day, the 13th season premiere episode, The Halloween Apocalypse, kicks off the 6-part miniseries within a series subtitled Flux, introducing John Bishop as new companion Dan. It's also been reported by Broadcast Now that Sony are close to acquiring new Who co-production company Bad Wolf, founded by former executive producers Jane Trainor and Julie Gardner and named after the meme from the first season of the modern series. Janeway won't be the only face from 90s Trek on the October 28th premiering Paramount Plus Nickelodeon Star series Star Trek Prodigy. At the New York Comic Con panel, Robert Beltran was revealed to be returning as Voyager's number one Chakotay, which seems to throw my theory that the show is set sometime after the burn from Discovery out the window. Speaking of the 90s and Trek icons, before William Shatner was announced to be paying a personal visit to the Final Frontier, Deadline reported that he's teaming with Pure Imagination Studios to reboot his cleverly named novel series turned short-lived 90s cyberpunk cop drama Tech War into an adult animated series. 24 and Clone Wars vet Matt Mushnanovitz is developing and writing the new adaptation of the story of a disgraced cop turned VR junkie, then framed and imprisoned, who's exonerated by the police to specialize in tech-related crime. Getting ambitious, they also promised mixed reality immersion through phones, tablets, wearables that will allow deeper exploration of the series setting. Still hanging out in the 90s, Netflix announced they've ordered That 90s Show, a sequel to the 70s set star-making classic, with creators Bonnie and Terry Turner showrunning a premise that sees Eric and Donna's daughter visiting her grandparents, the returning Kurtwood Smith and Deborah Jo Rupp as Red and Kitty, in the summer of 1995. Hollywood Reporter added that no other original cast members have been confirmed, but they helped to get them all with, well, one obvious exception. Into the Bozoverse? Through WGN-TV, it was announced David Arquette has acquired the rights to kids' morning show icon Bozo the Clown. Along with a museum, the actor said he intends to rebuild the international network of regional Bozos that once existed and is looking at TV and film options he hopes will begin redeeming the image of clowns. Mel Brooks is finally ready to tell the rest of the history of the world, as Variety reports the joke trailer at the end of his 1981 film will be made reality via an 8-episode Hulu series slated to be in production next spring. The 95-year-old legend is joined by a team of new producers and writers including Nick Kroll and Wanda Sykes. Gamer's long nightmare may be over, as the VGC Off the Record podcast reports Konami is finally going to exploit their classic library for more than pachinko machines. Andy Robinson reported remakes and new installments are being developed for Metal Gear Solid, Castlevania, and Silent Hill. For the latter, just get Del Toro and Reedus back to finish their game. But the report continued that The Last has multiple new installments in the works. While Castlevania will get a reboot, and Metal Gear Solid 3 is likely the first to get remade, as the company finally tries to get a foothold in the world of premium gaming. Now here's Elvira with Trick or Treat.
Trick or treat, trick or treat. headlights on. Leaves us home from such a cause of play right on. But to the back there's a cool deal with a real cool cat just a sit at the wheel. The obituary the papers say he up and went and rocked his life away. His last request, rock, don't cry, I wanna rock a bit of funeral. Well, I rock a bit of singer getting buried in his car. I want to know what the moon has designed. The backseat covered with the records I made. The old Telecaster that I always play. The Cadillac I headed for the MST. Well, the king made rockabilly history. I'm going up to heaven on the 4-6 fly. I want to rock a bit of funeral when I die. Oh, what a life, the one the future is mine. He telling me my man is up and up.
Elvira just bid Trick or Treat, followed by What Can I Do by the Black Bells, which served as a theme for the short-lived Audie's revival of Elvira's classic show, and that block ended with a live performance of Rockabilly Funeral by Commander Cody. We head into the second half of today's show with reviews and recommendations for the remaining Halloween week, as well as another urging for you to come together with the other listeners turned sustaining donors, bringing WGXC and Wave Farm closer to the $5,000 a month, your source for participatory local radio needs, to better sustain operations for the next decade and beyond. All it takes is going to wgxc.org/donate or calling 518-697-7400 to start a monthly contribution of $5, that's 17 cents a day, $10, 35 cents a day, or more. Once again, that's wgxc.org/donate or call 518-697-7400. First, in my recent viewing report, Night of the Animated Dead, the animated remake of the George Romero classic, available on physical media and for rent/purchase on Amazon Prime. I thought it was a fine effort, better than 2009's Night of the Living Dead Reanimated, though that's not a fair comparison, as that was more of an experimental multi-animator round-robin recreation using the original dialogue. But while I might recommend that to animation aficionados and Living Dead completists, it didn't quite click with me. It was definitely better than any remake/special edition not involving Romero, So yeah, I just see quite good 1990 Tom Savini remake in that case, and this was heads and tails above those. Animation-wise, it's using a slightly less janky, more detailed style than the Doctor Who Lost serial recreations, but it's still pretty limited. Minor complaint, didn't like how they redesigned the cemetery zombie, kind of like changing the nun zombie in Dawn of the Dead 78 to look like Sally Fields. But at least we finally got a special edition slash remake that actually illustrates Ben's story about the diner. Okay, maybe the 3D remake did, but I totally blew that one off. Notice a few other tweaks, like cutting out Barbara's weird tangent about Johnny asking for candy during her breakdown. Oh, and Ben still slaps her, but she slaps him first, so, well, not better really. They also understandably trimmed the runtime down to a lean hour plus minus credits because, look, the original is a stone-cold, genre-creating classic that holds up, but riff tracks weren't wrong when they pointed out the padding in their riff of it, as well as the incessant cricket chirping throughout, that something that was probably out of Romero's control given the limitations of the shoot. Voice acting-wise, it's good across the board. Though Dula Hills, no Dwayne Jones or Tony Todd, he still voiced Ben admirably. And there are a few recognizable names, like Galactica's Katie Sackhoff as Judy, Will Sasso as the Sheriff, and Nancy Travis as Helen Cooper. Hoping it's successful because it'd be nice if they did one based on Romero's original Day of the Dead script. If you need something more appropriate for the kids or some millennial nostalgia, then there's Straight Outta Nowhere, Scooby-Doo meets Courage the Cowardly Dog, available on physical media and for rent purchase through Amazon Prime and iTunes. I'd assume it's also up on HBO Max, but I couldn't find any sign of that. Anyway, it was good fun even if you're a Scooby agnostic. Not as surprisingly good as last year's Maxwell Adams produced Halloween DTV installment that I gushed about last year. Falls on the higher end of average Scooby romp. I commend them for taking Courage back to his less verbose state from the early shorts before the ongoing series gave him dialogue, and the end gag of the meddling kids insisting that the classic Courage monsters behind the foiled plot must be wearing really good masks, got a chuckle, but more importantly, makes me want a fuller return to the Monsters Are Real era than Return to Zombie Island. Hey, maybe that's something Warner should let James. Trust me, my original life Scooby scripts were much better than the finished product, gun loose on. Back to the music, here's Bill Buchanan to tell us about The Night Before Halloween.
Was the night before Halloween, and all through my house, not a monster was stirring, not even a mouse. Igor was snuggled, all safe, in his bed. He lay there so still, you'd think he was dead. The bats were all hung around the chimney with care, hanging there, planning which people to scare. And wrapped in his coffin, and I, my lad, creating a monster still warm on his slab. When all of a sudden, I heard such a clatter, I ran from my lab to see what was the matter. I ran to the chamber, quick as a flash. There were my monsters doing the mash.
Everybody mash!
I broke up the party and put them away, and told them to rest, for tomorrow's their day. When all of a sudden, the clock struck 13, and Frankenstein yelled, "It's Halloween! Up, Igor, Dracula, out of your bed. Let's go downtown and wake up the dead." And as the whole gang started off in the night, I heard them all singing,
"Happy Halloween to all! And to all a good
night.
Why, even Dracula will be there. It's time for games, it's time for fun. Not for just one, but for everyone. The Jack-o'-lanterns are all lit up. All the dummies are made of stuff. By just looking, you will see. It's the time of year again. It's Halloween, it's Halloween. All the kids are
Bill Buchanan's The Night Before Halloween began that set, followed by The Shags proclaiming It's Halloween, and we ended with Aqua's Halloween. Now for our last full block, here's radio legend and one-hit wonder Rick Dees with the Jaws Skewering Bad Shark.
Fish that loves to munch on all the chicks.
Shark.
Who is the fish that will put you on his grocery list?
Shark.
Who's the fish that won't cop out when the spear gun's all about?
Shark.
Dang right. They say this catfish shark is a bad mother.
Shut your jaws.
Just talk about shark.
Complicated fish, and no one understands him but his mermaid.
Bad shark,
bad shark,
bad shark,
bad
shark,
bad shark,
bad shark,
bad shark.
There is no escape.
Hoped and prayed.
Set began with Bad Shark by Rick Dees and his cast of idiots, paired up with A Pact with Lucifer by Coven. Before we go out for today, I hope some of you out there show your appreciation and support for me and all the great volunteers this station gives a chance to express our creativity and share our knowledge and opinions by going to wgxc.org/donate or calling 518-697-7400 to become a sustaining donor and ensure WGXC's survival for the foreseeable future. That's wgxc.org/donate, 518-697-7400, and you can also mail contributions to WGXC FM, care of Wave Farm, P.O. Box 13, Accra, New York, 12405. This won't be the last you hear from me this week, as Friday I'll be back from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. for a Halloween crossover with science program Thangularity from the Makerspace here in Catskill. There will be more seasonal music, talk of science and pop culture and other geekery, and more opportunity to join in tax-deductible contribution to keep free listener-supported radio on the air. Hope you join us. Till then, have a safe week and a happy Halloween as we go out with Stephen W. Parsons and Babel's theme song for The Howling 2.
In the pain.